Aloha, and welcome to Talk Story, the longest-running talk show on Maui. And I am so thrilled to have in the studio a man who has the most beautiful voice. And you'll be able to hear him this Friday. It's going to be MAPPA's huge Jekyll and Hyde performance opening night. I have tickets already. I'm so excited. But it's going to be three nights this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the following weekend, Will Kimball is going to be bursting on the scene, folks. And I tell you, I got a chance to be there at the rehearsal a couple weeks ago, and I am so glad I got to go, because I've been talking about Jekyll and Hyde with Carolyn and Peter and Leanne and everyone, but it wasn't until I actually saw it that it hit home how amazing this performance is going to be. It's the amazing, of course, everything wasn't done with the set, but the set and the chorus and the acting and the lead singers and everyone together just kind of puts you back in your seat. You just go, wow. And I have to say, one of the things that hit me the most when I saw it, you were talking at one point in the lead role that you play, Jekyll and Hyde, you were talking at one point about how great it would be if there was no evil in the world. And you really put your heart into this explanation. And I can't remember if you sang it or spoke it, but how amazing it would be if we could overcome all the evil. And I never had thought of Jekyll and Hyde in that context before. So tell me about this basic concept that we may not be aware of when we think of Jekyll and Hyde, of trying to overcome this evil.
Dr. Jekyll is very, very much an idealist. He sees the world in an idealistic way. And what he wants to do is he wants to establish an opportunity where he can separate the dual nature of man. So he can say, if man is constantly struggling between good and evil, and if that's a constant struggle we all deal with, then why can we not separate those things and eventually eliminate the bad thing? So that's what his experiment is he says, we need to separate these two, you know, this duality of mankind. We need to separate because they're constantly struggling with each other. We don't know whether to do good. We don't know whether to do bad. Are we a good guy? Are we a bad guy? I don't know. And so these, we're being pulled in this opposite, polar opposite way. So what Dr. Jekyll wants to do is he wants to say, hey, let's take evil and let's just eliminate it completely. Let's just get rid of evil. The evil nature of mankind, just get rid of it. And so he starts to imagine this world that no more hatred, no more violence, no more war, no more, you know, and this world that's ruled with passion and gratitude and gratefulness, and very much the idealist. Very, very much the idealist. And that's what his experiment is all about.
Well, I think that really struck a chord, pun intended, with me, because that's always, if someone gave me that opportunity and said, wow, you can overcome all evil, I don't think it is more apparent than it is. I mean, I'm sure in World War II, when there's Hitler and everything going on, there was the same thing. But when there's all the struggles of war and terrorism and everything we've been seeing very much in our face with the news in the last few months, in the last year, in the last few years, we say, gosh, why? Everyone I hear says, why is this happening? Why are people so violent? What's going on? So to me, when I heard that part of Jekyll and Hyde, I went, wow, this is something that so pertains to our day and age still, even though it was written 1887, I think it was out first as a book. And then I read a nice column in the Maui Scene that Michael did last week, and it talked about the fact that it was also a movie. I didn't know that in 1908. But then this made it so relevant to now.
And it does. It brings it up to
totally
today,
does.
Doesn't it? I mean, we can all identify with this struggle of good and evil, you know, in the world today, in the news. We're constantly, every day in the news, we're constantly given the opportunity to look at what good people do or what evil people do. And so to have this be so contemporary, something that's so not contemporary, become so contemporary to today's scene is a great thing. It's a great testament to David and Andre and the production staff, you know, for choosing a musical that can not only be antiquated, but to speak to us today.
Well, and it is interesting because it took place in the Victorian era, and that does come up. That's part of the plot line, of course, is that there is this struggle that's not going, and it is you, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to just say you, because you embody that role of Jekyll and Hyde. But there's a struggle in you that it's that's dealing with this, why can't we overcome evil? But then there's also the struggle of the times, which was, let's bury and hide our way that we are and only put on a face, a facade, you know, which I see in you in that role is something you're also kind of really bound by those restrictions. And I think it's interesting that you are, in fact, working in oncology department where you're seeing that doctor side of you is out there because this is your day thing. So I see even in the opening role when you're looking at your father and he's died, how you look at even the atmosphere of as a doctor, that kind of comes across in the role as well. So, I mean, it seems like for you, you've really taken this on. And how is this affecting you when you're so into the role and going through this very difficult struggle between good and evil?
It is. It's a great role. It's a great opportunity to explore this new character and this new side. And he does stick with me. Jekyll does stick with me. And, you know, a little bit, unfortunately, Hyde sticks with me a little bit. I have some sleepless nights. I have some issues with getting to sleep at night sometimes after a really heavy, intense rehearsal. I have a hard time shaking him off. I really do. And it's the exactly what you said. It's the facade. It's the Jekyll trying to live up to all the expectations of society around him. He's trying to be a doctor and an idealist, and he's trying to be this experimentor and he's trying to change the world. And yet he is pulled down by the pressures and the anger and the, you know, he's constantly running into roadblocks at every turn. Somebody saying, no, you can't do this. No, this is unacceptable. You cannot push this boundary. And he's saying, why not? Why? What's stopping me? And then when he finally goes through with the experiment using himself, and he goes through that door, and then what happens? Trying to control, okay, what is this? Who is this Edward Hyde? And why does he have such a hold on me? And why does he live out all of these dark desires that are inside of my head that I never even knew they were there?
And the setup with, of course, why there's this beautiful woman you're in love with and you're going to get married. And so, and when I watched in the rehearsal, it's like, why wouldn't have that stopped you? There was no way that you could not have taken that chemical, whatever creation to make you experience this evil and good, thinking you can overcome it. But you didn't. The love that you had for this woman didn't stop you from going there.
Right. The love triangle, I think, is the best part of the whole musical. You've got this love triangle where Dr. Jekyll is so desperately in love with this woman, Emma. You know, he's loved her for a long time. She's this proud, strong, independent, very not Victorian woman. You know, she makes decisions on her own, and she's very resilient, and she stands up for herself. And I mean, she's so attractive and such a beautiful person inside and out. And then he is also attracted to this other woman, Lucy, who is not the, you know, from the nicest side of the street, let's say, you know.
She's played by?
By Katie.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Both of these women, I mean.
Gorgeous and, yeah.
Acting with these two women is such a pleasure. And they do such a great job of making me look good. And they are so giving and so generous as actresses. And the opportunity to sing with them and to act with them is just is tremendous.
But and everyone wants to root for love, of course.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
but you can see where the temptation, of course, which was overcome in the initial stages, you see, and a bachelor party. But then when the whatever it is that keeps you from doing what you shouldn't be doing comes down, then the other side comes out. So it's a very contemporary thing. And it's interesting that you do have to take this on into yourself. I think one of the biggest surprises, Maui, you know, I've been here 26 years, but Maui knows a lot of our actors, you know. I mean, we all know some of the wonderful people who've been part of the MAPA wonderful shows. And by the way, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the map, but Jekyll and Hyde performance happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the following weekend, and it's going to be amazing. You can call 242-SHOW, or you can go to mauiarts.org. But one thing we didn't know, and I didn't know till I went inside the rehearsal, is the voice you have. This voice you have. I mean, I've been around music all my life, and I appreciate all kinds of music, and I heard you sing. I think the big song in the first part is Love Me for Who I Am. What's the name of that song? Who I Am?
Take me for Who I Am.
Which, of course, is such an important song because you're asking each other, you and your love interest, mm-hmm. and to take each other for who you are, which is asking a lot when that includes good and evil.
Yep.
But when I heard you sing, it's like this person's had operatic training. I mean, this is a voice that has had experience singing opera. So am I right or wrong? Have you done opera before?
You are right. I have done opera before. Yeah, I've mostly sang opera the majority of my life. I didn't have a chance to do a lot of music theater because I just I had this big giant voice that was so suited for operatic, mm-hmm. that I got steered that direction. And I love opera. I love singing in different languages. I love the medium, but definitely, you know, I love the art form of the American musical theater. It's native to me.
If you were going to do an opera, I mean, I can't help but think of Pagliacci. Is it Pagliacci? Yeah.
Pagliacci.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of Pagliacci in the role closest to what you're doing here.
Because, again,
here's the person who is crying and not able to let out the truth and isn't seen for who he is behind the clown mask. You know? But I hear that same energy that I hear in the beautiful Pagliacci. Am I getting it wrong?
Yeah.
Pagliacci, which is one of my favorite. Have you ever played Pagliacci?
I never have. That's a tenor role, actually, and I'm a bass baritone. So you wouldn't be able to. Yeah, I always play the villain.
Oh,
they always make the bass the villain.
Interesting. But it is that beautiful voice, and I think that is going to really be a major surprise for a lot of people who go to the show. And I think a lot of people, after they see the show, are going to be talking about, wow. I mean, because, you know, it's one thing to do a role, and it takes, of course, the acting, which you do a great job of, but if you can't sing in a musical, that even know how, well, no matter how much you can act, if you can't sing it, it takes away.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. You're almost on the stage all the time.
I am. There's a lot of time spent on the stage for Jekyll and Hyde, and it gets a little taxing, but Gary, our musical director, has been so wonderful with me about helping me pace it, helping me time it, helping with tempos, just simple things that you can do that you can speed some things up, you can slow some things down, and any of those kind of tools can be used in the singer's toolbox to kind of assist in making the course of the evening go as smooth as possible.
Well, one of the things I've always been impressed by in MAPA's performances is the staging and the choreography, and I have to applaud Andre, mm-hmm. once again. He does his choreography in a way that is so seamless, mm-hmm. and at the same time so flowing and beautiful that it's almost like a ballet of dancing in between the different sets, and you're on so much, you have to really also bring in not in just the acting and the singing, but you have to flow really seamlessly as well when you're participating in that, right?
Yeah, Andre's great. He is so talented and such a generous, kind man. He is, he's full of ideas. He comes and he has ideas for scenes, and he says, hey, let's try this, and then if that doesn't work, let's try this. But yeah, I agree with you. His choreography is so organic.
Yeah.
It becomes so a part of every character, of every scene, and it just looks so natural. And mm-hmm. it looks so like it just fits. It just fits and it just works. He's such a great, great visionary.
What's the thing you love most about when you get to, and it's you're working full time, you're going in there, it's a lot of pressure on you. You got a lot of stress on you. You know, you've got the opening night, the rehearsals, the everything now and this week will be at the actual location. What's the thing that gets you through when you're going, oh my God, how am I going to do this?
I think the thing that really helps me the most, and it sounds kind of cliche, and I don't mean it to be, but I am surrounded by a wonderful cast. I am surrounded by wonderful supporting actors and actresses who are just so supportive and loving and who are so ready to offer any hand of help that they can, and who are also just so incredibly generous on stage. They give so much to me as actors. They give me things to work with. They give me emotion. They give me validation. They give me all of the things that a fellow actor needs to have. And so even when I'm coming into rehearsal and I'm a little bit grumpy, a little bit grouchy, and I'm a little tired, they really energize me, and they make me feel good, and they encourage me.
You.
They do. They're so great. I mean, all of them are just so wonderful. Everybody from the ensemble all the way up to the ladies, to John, who plays my best friend. He is incredibly supportive and
kind. Is he
kind.
The one that's the father of your...
That is okay. Joey, yeah. Oh, that's the father of Emma, and he's another one who's just incredibly supportive and mm-hmm. so kind and so sweet. And
you know what? There was an interview last Friday here. And it was, I think it was Gary who was saying, you're just like a gentle giant. You're 6'4", and you're really built, and it's like you come across, they say you're such a sweetheart and like a teddy bear when they deal with you. He was singing your praise.
Oh, that was so nice of him.
That it's such a surprise to work with you, and you have to also do this role that, is it hard to break down the barriers to be evil? I mean, are you at some point going, I don't know if I want to be this awful. I don't know if I want to do this. Did you have a hard time yourself overcoming that part?
It's a really kind of fun, actually. It's fun to be the bad guy. It's fun to be evil. And so I think the opportunities that I have in the musical to morph myself into Edward Hyde and to take that persona on is actually fun mm-hmm. because it's kind of a... It's no holds barred, you know, mm-hmm. everything, just go for it and commit to it 100% and own that. And there's been a couple times where David has had to say, okay, that's a little too far there, Will. Okay, mm-hmm. let's pull it back a little bit. So mm-hmm. let's come back. But that opportunity to really delve into evil and to delve into being the bad guy is actually a lot of fun.
In a goodbye psyche and body.
It is, yeah, and it's very cathartic, I think. You know, it works out for me. Some difficulties that I have with the part sometimes, or I'll have some frustration, and then I'll turn that into some sort of action or a grunt or a moan or a scream or a diabolical laugh or whatever it may be, and kind of helps me deal with the challenge ahead.
I saw this wonderful article that was done by in the Maui Scene about the thing, and it had some interesting points in that I didn't know that Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote it, had tuberculosis and landed up going to Oahu, and that there actually was a Dr. Hyde who came out. Who in the world would come out against Father Damien? Who would come out against Father Damien? And this guy, Dr. Hyde, who was Reverend Dr. Hyde, did. And so what an amazing tie-in with Maui and Hawaii, this guy really was, Robert Louis Stevenson had this dream created, and then maybe part of him knew and landed up in Oahu and somehow did land up having an interaction or upsetness with a Dr. Hyde who was impersonating his Dr.
Wasn't
Hyde.
Wasn't that a great
connection
that Michael
connection.
Made? That was a great connection.
Yeah, beautiful connection. For you in this role, I mean, is the acting difficult to do, or what's the most difficult thing? We talked about the best thing working with a group, but is the acting hard to do because you are such a demanding role that you're asked to do?
It is a lot of time and it's a lot of energy anytime you take on a persona like that, and especially two personas, and dealing with that bipolar nature, it's a lot of energy. The good thing is that Andre, David, the production staff have really empowered me to, I have to make the change right there in front of people. It's not like I get to go behind a curtain or go behind a piece of furniture or something and then, boop, I pop out and here I am, Edward Hyde. I have to change right in front of people. So it's changing the way I walk. It's changing the way I carry myself. It's changing the look on my face, the gait of my walk, everything, you know, changes right there. So as a singing actor, that's a great challenge. And I think that has been the most fun thing, really, is to watch that challenge come about as I'm told how to do it and what the expectation of the director is, and then to be able to meet that expectation. That's really been the biggest challenge, but it's also been the most fun.
Well, I have to admit, and I love everything David has done. I've had a chance to interview him for years. I mean, like 20 years, different shows and things. But and he's brilliant. And I had to really question him when he said, it's going to be Jekyll and Hyde. And in my own mind, I thought, people don't know this. It's a dark show. Who's going to, I mean, it's heavy times. Are people going to want to see a show that's not fun and singing and, you know, light and because this is kind of a heavy time.
Yeah.
And people think of it as a dark show. And so I think that David, in his wisdom and experience, he's gained a lot of experience, and that comes out in his wisdom, saw something in this particular show that I think a lot of us, and I didn't understand, he saw something very important that had to be expressed. And I think when I first heard about it, I thought he's taking a huge risk, because this isn't one of the big top hits on Broadway, you know?
No.
So I respect him so much, I had to talk to him about it, and I was getting, okay, he said, you know, it's great music, interesting story, you know, that it was done. But I mean, it wasn't until, I don't know how we convince people how powerful this is going to be and how right it is for people to see this in our day and age, and how bold a move it is to take this show on right now. I mean, and I have to applaud David for that, because it's a big jump to say, okay, we're going to do a show that most people don't know anything about, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. David is so wise and clearly had a vision for this. And like you said, the music is absolutely stunningly beautiful. Every single song is, I mean, there's not a song that you can throw away.
Your favorite song?
Oh, my gosh. it sounds terrible, but I actually don't like any of the songs that I sing. I like the songs that the girls sing.
Uh-huh.
I think the songs that Katie sings as the character Lucy are the most beautiful. I think people will have chicken skin. They'll have Kleenex out. You know, just the longing that she expresses in those two songs. The duet.
The duets are beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have to say, you and Leanne on the duets. I forget her character's name.
Emma. Yeah.
You two have chemistry, which this wouldn't work without that.
Right.
And you, again, don't hold back, and you really, it's very believable when you see you two on stage. That's so important in that role.
It's so much fun, and I appreciate you saying that, and it's so easy to have chemistry with Leanna, because she is so generous and such a giving actress.
Folks out there, if you don't, of course you may not know who we're talking about, but she's been in a lot of MAPPA shows
People are going to instantly recognize her. I tease her in rehearsals because her character actually doesn't get to sing a lot. She sings a couple of duets and she sings some short things, but she doesn't have a lot of solo opportunities. Huh. And I joked with her and said, you know, I think people are going to be protesting out in front of the MAC that you don't get to sing more.
She's got a beautiful voice.
Man.
And when that's
so
the
talented.
Duet that Accept Me for Who I Am, what's that called?
Take Me As I Am.
That is a beautiful, and again, it's so lovely, the energy, and as you both sing it, a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah, establishing the romance between Dr. Jekyll and Emma, and the way they love each other, and the way they see one another, and the way that they complete each other in each other's eyes, you know, that they really, for what they feel like they lack as people, the other sees the potential. It's that's who doesn't want that kind of relationship?
Yeah, and again, this is something that relates for then and now. Of course, you know, there's so many issues that people understand psychologically about, can you love someone who's bipolar? Can you love someone who has got psychological challenges? And what does it take to do that? And there's some interesting stories that have been coming out from people even I know. I have a friend, Jessie Close, who's Glenn Close's sister, and she has bipolar. And she was here, actually, on Maui talking for Mental Health Kakua. And she talks about having bipolar, and her son is schizophrenic.
Hmm.
And so Glenn came out. Glenn loves her sister and came out with this organization called Breakthrough Change and to support awareness of mental health. And it's been interesting how this exact same thing's been. Her son, you know, is in a love relationship, but they're kind of, we'd get married or not, because maybe the psych, maybe it's going to be carried on with the gene, you know, all the problems she's had in bipolar relationships. So I think now more than ever, people are really looking and understanding the psychology of what it's like to be in love with someone, and so many people have psychological problems, and again, they're buried. They've been ashamed to admit it. And
it's been such a stigma in our society for such a long time.
It has been a huge
stigma. You know, we're okay with somebody having some sort of stomach ailment, or we're okay with somebody having something wrong with their ankle or having arthritis, but the minute we bring up mental illness, it's immediately a stigma. You're right, it is. And I think that that's one of the great things this show does, is it does show that, hey, you know, these people may have some, you know, there may be something wrong, and there may be, but they find a way to love. Mm-hmm. And I think, in my opinion, Emma is the most noble character in the whole work, mm-hmm. because she has this great line where she says, Henry Jekyll, Henry, I adore you. I always have and always will. And your dreams are mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that everyone wants to hear somebody say that to them.
Yeah. It's a very, very, very powerful show. And people are going to be stunned. I think people literally, it's going to be one of those where they just go, oh, you know, you just might even have silence sometimes, like, whoa, because it's going to knock people off their socks when they see some of these things that come up and the issues and the way it's acted, and it's going to have such an impact in ways that people may not expect. And I really want everyone to experience this. I know all the MAPRA productions in the summer have been unbelievably great, and so there is also that, you know, mm-hmm. that you've got, yeah. you got the tradition,
a lot
of
to live up to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, a
but
lot
I,
to live
I know
to.
This will, and it's going to be something that people will be talking about. It's not just something, oh, it was a great show, I loved it, but there'll be discussions going on about this and things that it brings up that are so important for our time.
I think you're right.
So I really want to encourage everyone to get your tickets, because once people go on opening night Friday, once they go, it's going to be like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to want tickets. So there is a Friday night opening night, which is, you know, you better call right away, 242-SHOW, or mm-hmm. go to MauiArts.org. But then, of course, there is Saturday and Sunday, and there is a matinee happening on Sunday where there'll be a discussion back and mm-hmm. forth too. I think at 3:00.
Yeah,
which would be very interesting, because there's a lot to discuss, and it's nice to, you know, people can ask you these questions and talk to you.
Yeah,
if they want to go to the 3:00 performance, mm-hmm. and then I think there's actually on Sunday the last show is also at 3:00 on mm-hmm. the second weekend as
yes.
well, right? Yeah,
yes.
Which makes sense, because a lot of times people don't want to go out on Sunday night
yeah.
and stuff. So I encourage everyone to just embrace this opportunity to see a show like you have not seen. And there is something very exciting about going, gosh, I've never seen this show before. A lot of the other shows that have been done, we have seen in different places, some on Maui and some in other places in the country. Never have seen this show for sure here on Maui before. So, do give yourself the opportunity, or else you'll be sorry, because you'll be missing something great. And I have to say, you're going to be doing an amazing job. Love your acting voice and the way you do it, and who you are in it. Bravo is all I can say. Bravo.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I know you have to get back to work.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to let you go. But it's been a pleasure talking to you, Will.
Pleasure's been mine. Thank you so much.
Aloha.